You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
There is professional Seth Davis. You just saw it. He is pulling a curtain in some hotel somewhere where he has been going over the numbers. I'm sure it smells like the committee over there, because Seth Davis over the last 20 years has climbed into the granules of college basketball, Stugatz, and he's one of the voices on Sunday who's going to tell us about the 40 teams we don't know we're all going to be gambling on over the course of the next few weeks. And so all he's here for, all Chris Cody wants from him is, hey, Seth, abandon all your journalistic principles and just tell me who to bet on. Tell me who's going to surprise people because he likes the matchup. But Seth has to be a journalist. He has to be integrity. He's been doing this for 20 years, Stugatz. How many names do you associate with? This guy's going to tell me who's got it right, who's got it wrong for 68 teams. How many names can you mention that you associate like this one with? This person's information is going to be good.
Seth Davis and Jay Billis.
Is it? It's not just two of you. Who else is on that list, Seth? Who else is on it?
There's a lot of guys. Andy Katz, Mike DeCourcy, of course, the people that I work with, Clark Kellogg, Jay Wright, Candace Parker in Atlanta. And you know that Chuck and Kenny have been studying college basketball very closely.
No, Seth, that's bullshit. Seth, that's bullshit. Charles wings his way through the tournament every year. It is the most amazing slalom job I've ever seen. He knows nothing about what he's watching, and he's doing it for 8 hours a day, and it's just the fraudster. Like, he doesn't, he's just doing research before the game.
But he knows basketball.
Yes.
He knows what he sees, and Kenny, they know what they see. So, it's good.
It's the greatest gig.
It's the best. But what's this thing about gambling? No, who's gambling? Are people gambling?
Chris Cody, here. Let's lift the veil away from this nonsense.
Give me the value, Seth.
Yes. Seth, give us fast and easy value. Cheap and easy. We haven't talked to you in a while. Get to the good stuff.
Well, you know, my only rule with this is no blaming. Like, my buddies, they call me from Vegas. They want to know my picks. I'm like, no blaming.
Seth, stop
it. We all know the person who knows the least always wins the office pool. I'm kind of kicking myself. Look, I get like literally 6 minutes to fill up my bracket because they hand us the sheet of paper from the committee. We're 10 minutes to the start of the selection show. I got to make my picks and go through all my comments. And I think that's the best way to do it, frankly. But I've got a lot of chalk late in the tournament. Okay, Houston and UConn are the two best teams in this tournament. Purdue is tricky, I'm not gonna lie. Purdue is tricky, and they drew two tricky teams in their region if they play them in Creighton and
that
Tennessee.
Slab of meat, yeah. Edie is just gonna get in everyone's way. No, that slab of meat, that fouling slab of meat that can't be defended, can't be guarded, plants itself in the key and is Yao Ming's body, that cannot be allowed to ruin this tournament, Seth. Cannot be allowed.
I'm sensing some Zach Edey backlash. Are you in that camp and not appreciating the big maple?
He would have been drafted ahead of Michael Jordan in 1984. I am not underestimating him.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about Zach Edey is he lives at the foul line. And I know this is a big conversation. I've talked to people, including inside the Big Ten, that say they don't call enough fouls against Zach Edey, okay? What are you going to do? The guy's 7'5", 270, and he knows how to play at this point because he's been there forever. And so you got to either stop him from catching the ball in close or foul him, and he's become a 72% foul shooter. But I'll give you – let me give you a nugget about Creighton. First of all, they have the best defensive center in the Big East and one of the best in the country in Ryan Kalkbrenner. And they are number one on KenPom in defensive free throw rate. They are the best team in the entire country at not fouling. And they have some dynamic guards of the kind that Purdue has had trouble with. So, look, we all know the blueprint with Purdue. ZD's going to roll out of bed and get you 24 and 10. I mean, that's just the reality. The question is, it's not about him scoring from the foul line. It's fouling everybody out. In other words, if you're Creighton and Ryan Kalkbrenner gets a second foul with 9 minutes to go in the first half, it's going to be a long day. But there will come a time, and probably multiple times, when the idiots, as I call them, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, Lance Jones, who was not on the team last year, transferred from Southern Illinois, they are going to have to win a game for Purdue with their three-point shooting under the most immense pressure that an athlete can face. And then Tennessee, of course, has a dynamic scorer in Dalton Knecht, as well as some big, strong guys inside. Jonas Adu is a good defensive center. If you're going to drop teams that Purdue doesn't want to see, Creighton and Tennessee would be on the short list. Having said that, I picked Purdue to go to the Final Four. So what the hell do I know?
Idiot also sounds like what you could call the Zach Edey haters, I think, right? The idiots. My question,
the idiots. Idiots or idiot. That's an excellent distinction. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Because you have to be an idiot. You have to be an idiot to hate Zach Edey.
Oh, Seth Davis. Go get a life. It's not that I hate him. I don't hate him. He's just a he's a problem. He's a plague. There's a tree trunk. It's an ocean liner moving through the lane, and college kids are draped from his thighs. And it's like, and what are you going to do? He's stronger than everybody.
And this is a problem? All right, well, that's fine. Look, you can say you hate him if he's playing against your team. You love him if he's playing for your team. I went to Duke with Christian Laettner. I know about player hate.
My question was that you said you have Purdue in your Final Four. Does that mean you have a Purdue-UConn championship? And would you take UConn or the field?
That's a great question. I always take the field over one team. That's just the reality of the NCAA tournament. There was actually an interesting dialogue because we've had a big three in college basketball with UConn, Houston, and Purdue, which has, you know, mostly separated, come back a little bit to the field in the last couple of weeks, but those have been the big three all season. And it was, do you take the big three or the field? And I would definitely take the big three. Let me just say something about UConn. So there have been two teams that repeated as national champs since John Wooden did it in the 70s, Duke in 92 and Florida in 2007. And in both instances, those teams brought back the previous team basically intact. UConn lost three starters and they lost five of their top eight scorers, and they are the heavy favorite going into this thing. You can't say enough about the job that Dan Hurley is doing. I like Houston. Now they got blown out by Iowa State. I'm not surprised they lost necessarily. I think Iowa State's really good. Absolutely got screwed on the seeding, by the way. Not necessarily being a two versus a one, but being the lowest number two, which has ramifications because now they have to go to Boston potentially to play UConn.
Can I stop you for just a second? People just want to hear his most screwed on the seedings, right? Like, everybody wants that. Like,
whatever you want.
Yeah, but
I want double-digit seeds that can make it to the Final Four, like Utah State. I agree with you on Purdue, and Utah State could face Purdue in the second round. I'm telling you, Seth, I love the Aggies out of the Mountain West, 27-6 overall. One of the great coaches in America, Danny Sprinkle. They have experienced guard play. They could stretch the floor. Great Osabar is a fantastic player. Landon Breachley, also a very, very good player. They have guard play. They play tenacious D, and they can score with anyone in the country. What says you?
I'm with you. If you're looking for double-digit seeds, I mean, there's not going to be many of them you would think about making a Final Four. You know, if Drake were not in UConn's region, I might add them to the list.
Well, but hold on, Seth. May I stop you?
Sure.
I believe that your analysis will not be as good as Stugatz's analysis on Drake. So I believe that he thinks Drake is better than even you think Drake is.
Ah, the Bulldogs out of the Missouri Valley Conference, 28-6 overall, 16-4 inside the conference. Great coach, Darren DeVries, and a little nepotism. I love this time of year a team with a little nepotism because his son, Trevor DeVries, is one of the great guards, Dan, in America. Plus, they have Aiden Wright. I'm telling you, this team is deep. They have guys off the bench. They play defense. They can stretch the floor, and they can rebound and score with any team in the country. How about that?
Well, aside from pronouncing the name wrong and getting St. Trevor instead of Tucker, I'm with you.
That's March.
I'm with you and your deep and your deep knowledge. And your deep knowledge of Drake. I am with you.
Thank you.
You know, Tucker DeVries reminds me of Doug McDermott, who also played for his dad, which is interesting. To quote Joe Buck, of course, the son of a great sportscaster himself, I'm in favor of nepotism as long as we keep it inside the family. So I like Drake, but look, you're talking about having to go through Iowa State, Illinois, and UConn get to a Final Four.
Yeah.
But that's why they're double digit seed. Let me give you a couple. I mentioned Grand Canyon. For all you bracket filler outers out there, look for the automatic qualifier teams, the higher seeded teams that won their regular season in the conference as well as the conference tournament. In other words, you have Duquesne, which is a great story out of the Atlantic 10. They were sixth in the conference and then got hot in the conference tournament. Did they get hot? Did they get lucky? Whatever it was, you know, Zygesunt in the dance. But a team like Grand Canyon, which not only dominated the WAC and then won the WAC tournament, really good coach in Bryce Drew, they've been to the tournament 3 of the last 4 years. Colgate has been to the tournament 5 years in a row. And there's another team that escapes me that had been there 3 years in a row. So Drake has recent NCAA tournament experience as well. I like a couple of teams coming out of the South. Okay. James Madison opened the season. They won at Michigan State. Everybody said, what the hell's wrong with Michigan State? James Madison is what was wrong. There you go. I get my own sound.
He's giving you a pick. He's giving you a pick.
Classic 12-5.
Give us another pick. Give us another pick.
Classic 12-5, by the way.
Fill out brackets, Seth. Seth, stop dancing around it, all right? Nobody wants.
McNeese.
Yes, thank you.
Another 12-5.
No one wants the reasons. No one wants the reasons. I totally agree. McNeese, another team that won a ton of games, romped through its conference tournament, Will Wade, and then my upset special, which if you think about it, it wouldn't even be that upsetting, is Samford over Kansas. Say it with me, everybody.
Oh, wow.
Samford
big one there.
Over
a big
Kansas.
One.
America is going to fall in love with Buckyball.
Stugatz, give
Jayhawks. Stugatz, are you with me?
Give Seth your UAB pick.
I love UAB, the Blazers, Coach Andy Kennedy. They haven't been this good since Gene Bartow was their head coach. 24-11 out of the American Athletic Conference. I love their guard, Eric Gainey. I love Efron Johnson as well, some of the best guard play in the country. I'm telling you, this team can make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. Don't be surprised, Seth, if the Blazers find themselves in the Sweet 16.
I'll be surprised, but nothing can shock me. Again, you're going against my rule about winning the regular season. I think they were fourth, the fourth seed in that conference tournament.
Right.
So look, anything is possible.
Yeah,
they had to win to get in. Look, I think San Diego State's really good. I think they've underperformed at times.
Aztecs.
But you know, I will say this. Auburn, even though I've got them in the Sweet 16, Auburn's vulnerable in the sense that they're one of those teams that they don't have to win one way, but they kind of have to win one way. They want to beat you 95-90. If they have to beat you 65-60, it could be a problem. So San Diego State will force them to beat them 65-60. But you know, going up against UConn, obviously my pick to win it all.
Seth,
but you know, Auburn's got to play a good Yale team. Yale has been solid in the Ivy all season long. Don't count out the Bulldogs.
Okay, don't count out the Bulldogs. All right, so Yale is also Stugatz. I've got to get him out here in 50 seconds here. I got to squeeze all of the all of the juice that there is to be squeezed in here.
Squeeze me, baby.
You said screwed on seeding, and I want to know what the audience wants more. Is it Stugatz's double-digit dogs likely to make it to the Sweet 16, or outraged Seth on screwed on seeding? What's the better 30 seconds?
Outraged Seth, I think. Okay. I do. Yes.
I just think, look, first of all, if you're a bubble team, I don't want to hear from you. I just don't. I don't want you complaining about the net. I don't want you to tell me analytics are BS. Don't put yourself on the bubble. Don't put that game in the hands of the refs. Ooh. There's only so many slots, and there's always going to be a few teams left out, and they're always going to feel screwed. And I wish coaches would be just like, hey, our fault. If we had won more, we wouldn't be in this situation. What the committee did with Iowa State was wrong. And the reason is, if you look at Iowa State's body of work, they were very comparable. Their record in the top two quads in the net was identical to North Carolina. They had better wins than North Carolina. The one thing they had was a weak non-conference strength of schedule ranking, but their overall strength of schedule ranking was comparable to all of the other candidates. So many people don't know, the committee actually seeds the entire field 1 through 68 and places teams in a geographic region as they go down the list. So there's a pretty big difference between having to play UConn in Boston and having to play North Carolina in Los Angeles, or even Purdue in Detroit. So I think the committee was like trying to send a message about the importance of non-conference scheduling. I don't think you should be sending any messages. I think you should be voting on the teams. But otherwise, hey man, everybody loves to complain about this stuff, and by the time the games tip off, nobody cares. Let's get this thing rolling.
We are out of time, Seth, but Jessica has something for you to close it out, and I will tell the audience, he's been a mainstay at CBS Sports for the NCAA tournament, like I said, 20 years. He's also the co-author of the bestseller, Rex Chapman, is actually doing good work out there, showing people the innards of his vulnerability. It's hard for me to live with me. Check out his new Substack. It's called Seth Davis Writes Again. But Jessica, what do you have for Seth as we close this out?
Indiana State was screwed. True or correct?
False. Don't put yourself on the bubble.
No.
Hey. Indiana State was the third team out. Okay. We had five teams, an incredible number. Five teams won their conference tournament who would not have been at large candidates. Last year, I think there was one. The year before, there was two. So Indiana being the third team out, if either one or two teams had done that, they would have actually been in the field. So the real estate got kind of squeezed there in the end. Everybody who's like the first, second, third, fourth team out, they all have a case to say they were screwed. Win and you're in, baby.
You put the sick in sycamores, sir.
Terrible.
You're an idiot.
Terrible. Terrible. You got to let Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the tournament.
But Drake said,
I wrote a book on Indiana State. When March went mad, go to Amazon and buy it.
Brutal. Brutal. You can't keep that. It was anti-Mexican. Avila needs to be in the tournament just because.
Well, then win his tournament.
No.
Right. If they're so good, how come they didn't beat
Get
Drake?
Out of here.
According to Stugatz, Drake is the 86 Celtics. So what do I know?
He bluffed his way through the whole thing.
I mean, 28-6 in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah. Just so you know, it's DeVries. DeVries. DeVries.
Whatever. Tomato, tomato.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Dan Le Batard.
Amino Hassan.
Stugatz.
Amino Hassan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We have failed today as a show so far. No one more than Chris Cody, executive producer, because this show has gone this long. Lucy, you're looking at me, but what I'm about to say, everyone in the audience will agree with. Everyone in this room, every employee at Meadowlark will agree with what I'm about to say, which is us going this far into the show without playing the video of Amin El Hassan, our basketball expert, taking a jump shot at a celebrity all-star game, in which not only was it a terrible air ball, but what he did with his follow-through was an international shame that got him dragged by the entirety of the internet. The fact that our show has not done more with this, that we have not reached out to Amin and woken him up, that we have not made fun of the hand gesture at the end, which is a bit abracadabra, but is no one's idea of basketball expertise and follow through.
What is that?
It's a finger roll from the easiest 3-point shot in the NBA, and the internet is totally mocking him, and we've waited 2 hours to do so. Billy,
hey,
I mean, yeah. Chris Cody should be punished for this, don't you think, in terms of lack of judgment?
No, we had to get to the Aaron Donald stuff, so yeah. It's good that we did this. The thing about this clip, because I'm not going to say that I didn't have multiple group texts that were going on yesterday commenting on this video that were sent to me. The hand thing is an obvious one, right? I think, and you can't see it on this shot because of our lower bar there, but he has a situation where his feet are in opposite directions at one point in time. Like, not like they're opening out or they're facing in. Like, one has his heel down on the ground and the other has his toe down on the ground, which I don't understand how he shot the ball that way at all. He also has like the Under Armour, like the long sleeve Under Armour under his jersey, and then like the Dwayne Wade like compression pants under his short. There's just
He's trying a lot. He's trying, and Hoop Herald
trying too hard.
Well, Hoop Herald reports while playing this video, and he is getting excoriated. It's got millions of views. Millions of views.
I mean, the follow through.
This is a legit human being who has a platform that is criticizing NBA players. Make it make sense.
I think the best part about the video was, you click the video to start, and I think everybody pretty much knew exactly how it was going to end, right? Like, when you see the video, you know exactly how it's going to go, but it's kind of like, how are we going to get there, you know?
If I were Amin, I would have just said, that's not me. Yeah. His face isn't in the video. I think he could have gotten away with it.
It's a heady play.
AI, it looked like him, though, but the hand gesture, it is being mocked internationally, and you know, people are writing, all again, getting dragged. Amin El Hassan used to be on ESPN, worked for the Suns a long time ago, number one NBA analyst on the Dan Le Batard Show. This shit right here may have ended his career. I'm a fan of his, but I can't see anybody taking his basketball analysis seriously after this. And then, because the thread continues, tells you all you need to know, Dan Le Batard is a goofball. Of course, he's going to have goofballs on his show. I can't protest.
That guy gets the show.
He claimed the ball was slippery.
Oh, stop.
Because Jess's tweet hit the nail right on the head. It looks like a circle changeup that he's throwing.
We're trying to reach him. It did look like a circle change.
He's hiding?
It was a flutter ball. It was a bit of a knuckleball. He's not hiding. He sent me an audio message. I want you to play it. We're now having difficulty scheduling him all of a sudden. All of a sudden, it's difficult
to schedule.
Amin's got, I got to go do bully ball with Rachel Nichols. I'm very busy. I don't have time to cover up my tracks,
buddy. Like, that's what you hit him back with, Dan. If you're him, you're like, hey, big show, not bully ball, okay? Here's the bully ball. Get on my show or get the hell out of here.
Billy, can you come listen to these audio messages so find out whether he's excuse-making or not? Because he's sending
me. He's excuse-making.
Okay, but I need to – we have an hour to reach Amin, and it appears he's in hiding. And I don't blame him because the internet is embarrassing him.
Now, we have his on-court explanation. He sent a new audio note, like, from this morning?
Yes.
Okay, because we have his explanation on the court,
right,
if we wanted to play that, too.
Yeah.
Hit it.
So this is the holy month of Ramadan. And y'all picking on me. I'm trying to be holy. I'm out here not eating and drinking.
It is.
Number two, I haven't played basketball since the 2017 NBA Finals.
That's true.
Okay. So, like, that's a long-ass layup for me to come out of retirement, run up and down here. Number three, them small balls are really light. So it's like it flies. You know what's funny? When they had the whole Sabrina versus Steph conversation, Eddie Johnson told me it's harder to shoot with a women's ball than it is with a men's ball. That Sabrina would have shot better if she shot with the men's ball than she would have with the women's ball. You know what? I tend to agree now. Having shot with a women's ball, everything is light. So my hand was all going flippy-floppy. Number four, look at these injuries. This is my pinky finger. It does this. I have a broken wrist. I got a bad back. Number five, fuck y'all anyway, man.
What's wrong with his pinky finger?
He's jacked up.
He really cranked up the excuse machine.
Flippy floppy was one of the excuses.
I don't
Ramadan.
Know. I don't. Well, Ramadan. Yes, I didn't have the strength that my flutter ball would normally have.
It's a great place to go.
I will again say, Tony will vouch on this. I will again say to, if you've never been on an NBA court, you don't have any idea how far that rim actually is. Because they make it look easy, these giant people who can do it well from out there. But it is further than you think it is. Many of us would look terrible taking NBA threes.
Look at that finger.
But not as terrible as Amin, our basketball expert. Stugat, I need some help with a couple of things because we're going to try and track down Amin. We have tracked down the Long Beach State coach, Dan Monson. He was fired on Monday. Now they're in the tournament.
I love it.
We're going to talk to him because it's just a funny story. He's fired on Monday, and then they win, and they're winning. They let him keep coaching.
Right, through the tournament, not expecting he would win the conference tournament.
Correct.
Now he's in the NCAA tournament.
That's correct. It's weird. So you're fired, but okay, well, we'll ride it out.
He's got to come back now, right?
I want to talk to him about this. We'll see. I don't think he can come back. I think he's been fired.
I mean, come on. They haven't hired a new coach yet, right? He's in the tournament. Like, how deep does he have to go in the tournament to get his job back? Or get a job somewhere else? How about that?
But he's been fired.
He's in the tourney.
You can rehire someone.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you not?
We'll ask him. He'll be on later in the show, but I didn't know if you knew this. Did Jessica take my phone outside?
Yeah, so here's what's going on. Amin sent two different voice notes and said, this is the only way that I can be reached, which is weird because he could just call in if he's doing this on his phone. But he's not doing that. He sent two voice notes, but your phone hasn't been updated, so you can't download them. And then you don't have something that can be screen recorded either because you got to do the update there. So we're having the technology department figure out how to get that audio off of your phone.
In the meantime, there's a risotto drought.
What?
What?
Risotto is in danger.
Hmm. Why?
Because the fields where they're made, and there's such a drought on the fields that it's getting so pricey. We've all noticed, correct? I mean, everyone's noticed the price of everything has gone up, and food is now unreasonable. Restaurants everywhere else now. I don't know if risotto is endangered, but it's something.
You mean like arborio rice, right? Because like the risotto is the cooked. That's the thing that gets everyone chopped.
It's close to being endangered.
Okay, so it turns out in 2022, the worst drought in 200 years struck the Po, the river that feeds the system of canals that irrigates the paddy fields. As a result, Italy lost 26,000 hectares of rice fields, and production of the grain dropped by more than 30%, and things haven't improved since.
What the? Stanley Tucci? Go fix that.
I didn't know that like risotto was like, I don't know if you guys noticed over the past couple years, like Christmas tree prices have been crazy, right? And the reason that Christmas tree prices, really?
Never.
Well, so Christmas tree prices were crazy for a while because there was a shortage of Christmas trees. The reason there was a shortage of Christmas trees was because of the economy like 8 years ago or something, because that's the amount of time it takes for a Christmas tree to grow. So situations back then made it so that now there was a shortage of Christmas trees and then prices went up. So it seems like risotto might be in the same boat-o.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju. Is risotto in the same boat-o as the Christmas tree?
I'm
this
voting
is
yes.
Great news for top contestants.
Let's tally up your votos.
This guy gets it.
Yeah.
You guys ever seen My Cousin Vinny?
Chris, you're not supposed to say what the f*** was that when you're the executive producer. What was that? Let me play some video here.
I think there's a ghost in here.
Let me play some video here.
Against the spread.
for the audience, Stugatz, I don't know if you saw this weekend, but I couldn't believe, I was legitimately surprised that Sammy Sosa, after all of these years of rehearsing for this question, hadn't thought of what might be his counter when someone asked him a follow-up. When you mentioned these mistakes, will you be specific about what the mistake is?
Is it time for you and Tom Rickus to sit down to get back into their good graces?
Well, like I say, you know, I'm a mature man. I think that it's a possibility that we can do that. I'm open. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I have a lot of misunderstanding in the past, but now I'm a real man. I feel great, so I recognize my mistake. So, hey, why not?
Are you telling me that you recognize the fact that maybe you did do steroids?
this is, like I say, this is not a question that I expect from you.
Is it time for you?
You let him right to the question.
Maybe you did do steroids is the hardest question he's gotten in 20 years on the subject, and he was not at all prepared for it.
Not a question that I expected from you.
Is it time for
you? Ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dan Le Batard.
Chris Cody does an impression. Just be careful.
Dangerous game here. This is a dangerous game.
I don't want to play this game.
No, he was saying, man, I could do such a great Kendrick.
No,
Perkins.
I don't want to play this game.
He's like, man, I this could talk just
gonna,
like him.
This is who we're going to trust with
this. I mean, you
this.
Do it. Let's let Amin do it, I think.
Stugatz.
I think you could do it, Chris, because you did a great Charles Barkley. You're one for one there.
Did no Super one two. Just hear the segment we just did with Amin? We cannot be
Amin's
taking
judgment is not the
counsel
best.
From the local drunk on whether or not you should do the impersonation of a black man stumbling over his words. Like, you don't see the bad in that.
There was
Moses Moody. Moody Moses. Moses Moody.
You need that. It sounds
Chris.
Worse.
Be careful, man.
We gotta, like, we cannot do this. It's too close to the line. This is where the line is. Something legitimately funny can't be funny because we're scared our ginger's gonna do something racist by accident.
Carry the hell on, Dan.
Rachel.
Dan, the line is where we feel alive, though.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We wanted to bring in a legitimate expert here on this basketball shot because she's been covering a quarter century. She's been covering the heights of basketball greatness. She's interviewed everybody who's ever mattered in the sport. She's got a number of different professional relationships with all of the people in basketball who matter. And Rachel Nichols can break down for us whether or not Amin is being a coward here, hiding from us, because the audio messages I'm getting from Amin are not helpful in terms of saying whether he's going to be on the show to answer questions, Rachel. He's got bully ball. He keeps saying, I have bully ball today. I don't have time to answer your questions about the jump shot at the Celebrity All-Star Game. Can you guys please put that in the corner of the screen? Just have it running for Rachel so she can tell me what she saw and how much our colleague deserves to be roasted. Because, Rachel, they're questioning his expertise. Nobody can cover basketball well if that's how they shoot.
I mean, I wonder if he can walk well if that's how he shoots. I mean, that was offensive to the human senses on so many levels deeper than basketball. What was he doing? What was happening? What was the elbow? What was the finger flick? I mean, I really want to know what the basketball name for that is supposed to be, according to him. And frankly, we have gotten no answers, right? There have been little bits and bits on Twitter or whatever, bleeps and blops, but we need Amin Alhassan to take some responsibility for what the hell happened over there.
Chris Cody, can you help me, please? Because she's got a new show, Bully Ball, with Boogie Cousins, and maybe Boogie can beat it out of Amin because he's now avoiding us. We're his main paycheck, not Bully Ball. We are his main paycheck, and he's avoiding us. Will you and Boogie ask the hard questions on Bully Ball?
Oh, I mean, you've met Boogie Cousins. He's not afraid of a confrontation. So I just think that the referees were just a prelude to what's going to happen today with Amin. I need to know what he was thinking. I mean, I'm really getting my interview hat on here, Dan, for this later today, because I just feel like I need to go into his childhood, maybe, to find out what trauma he underwent that caused that shot.
Are we not going to get Amin? Is Amin now not going to be
dodging us, Dan?
We're efforting.
All right. Regardless, whether or not Amin is there, Bully Ball is going to be, yes?
Is that a requirement of an NBA analyst to have a good shot? Like, I'm guessing Brian Windhorst is going to shoot some air balls from the three-point line as well. I'm just guessing.
But it's the form. It's the form that's problematic.
The follow-through.
It's not that he missed it. Anybody could shoot an air ball. It's the embarrassment of how is this person critiquing the athleticism of anybody when he looks like a crooked, rusty fence breaking apart and splintering at the fingertips.
Okay.
It's a judgment thing also, right? We're supposed to trust his judgment on the NBA if he also believed that he could go out and shoot that basketball. I have so many questions.
Do you believe any of his excuses?
No, and by the way, there were so many of them, weren't there?
Religious.
Like, I have religious, this excuse, fasting, that excuse, this excuse, five excuses.
But fasting, his God is to blame, his sacrifice on behalf of his God.
Give him credit there. That's a heady play.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He checkmated us. Really? Your religion is why you look like that shooting an air ball?
But on the same weekend, Kyrie Irving hit one of the great shots of this decade in the NBA, and he is also fasting for Ramadan. So I want nothing. I want nothing of that from Amin.
Okay, Stugatz, we don't know.
Do it in the postseason.
You were traveling, so how much information did you get from the weekend? Like, how informed are you on things like Kyrie Irving? Because the shot he made over Jokic, to have Luka Doncic be in a position where he seems awed by what he's just seen, it is fun, Rachel, to see stakes in the West this late in the season and the top of the sport caring because, oh, those are your champions there and beating them still means something. And Kyrie wants to get back from the beyond of what the last 3 years have been. So you tell us when you're watching yesterday, Stugatz, when you're seeing any of this, are you being caught up in the storylines? Are you missing it because you're traveling?
No, I did go away this weekend. I was in Chicago again. The only thing I read up on is Grand Canyon. I love them. The Antelopes out of the Western Athletic, 29-4, 17-3 in the conference. I am telling you, Tyson Grant Foster, TGF Dan, one of the great guards in America. They have senior guard play. They are deep. They can stretch the court. They can score with anyone. And people don't know this, Dan. They don't know this. Bryce Drew, head coach, championship pedigree. They play defense as well as anyone in the country. How about that? Don't be surprised if the Antelopes wind up in the Elite Eight.
Rachel, are you sophisticated enough to see that Stugatz is all bullshit there, that he's just making things up?
He's
got like three or four facts, and all he's doing is just, it's not inaccurate what he's saying, but it's bare minimum information that he actually has. He's cheating with cue cards.
Experience guard playing.
I just think like that he thinks if he throws in like a nickname, initials, he's like, oh yeah, no one's going to doubt me because I've got the nickname.
Correct.
Well, Rachel, can you explain this part? Because one of the things I love about the evolution of sports content coverage is that what you're doing every Monday with Boogie Cousins, you could have worked with anybody. You've made a specific choice here about who you want to analyze basketball best with so that you provide entertainment, but also information for the people who want maximum sort of geeking out on basketball from somebody who I think people don't know the way you do, so you're introducing about Boogie Cousins to people that I don't think many people have seen before.
Yeah, no, I mean, Boogie is an incredibly smart person in general, so he's great talking about basketball because then he can explain sort of the expertise he has on a very personal level. He's also played with everyone. That's the thing. I mean, he had the superstar start to his career, 4 all-star appearances, all of that, but when he went into the journeyman phase of his career after he got hurt, he played on that Warriors team that made the finals with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and the whole crew. He played on the Nuggets with Jokic. He played on the Bucks with Giannis. So he has moved around and been up close and personal with so many current players and situations in the NBA. That's one of the best parts of this show is that he sits there and he goes behind the scenes and tells you, well, this is what happens with Klay and this is what happens when he gets down on himself. And that's why he's having a hard time transitioning.
Oh, the suspense is killing me.
what I mean is still running.
Need to hear the end of that sentence. Let's just wait for a second, see if she comes
back. I always feel that from a like TV perspective, he's a lot more like Draymond Green or Charles Barkley in that mold of just will say whatever he thinks, doesn't sugarcoat anything, but has a lot of smarts behind it.
Can you explain to us, I think we did that all seamlessly, the co-host of Bully Ball with Boogie Cousins is Rachel Nichols. Amin will be there later today. You can catch new episodes every Monday. And I would tell you to subscribe to All the Smoke Productions on YouTube. They are close to 1 million subscribers, and they're building out their own empire with Rachel over there. But from what you saw this weekend, Rachel, and the specifics of the league media narrative still spend too much time with Steph Curry and LeBron when it seems clear that the young people in that sport, the future of that sport at a complicated time in America, it is their time now. And I'm wondering, as you, a veteran media analyst, see that Adam Silver suddenly gets dragged over the weekend because Curry, LeBron is fouled up by technical issues. And I'm seeing Adam Silver criticized. And I'm like, really? He's responsible for that. But it feels like the league has a bit of a crossroads in terms of what it's going to do with its next generation of stars.
Well, you and I lived through the whole next Jordan thing, right? The Harold Miner years, as I like to call them, where everybody was going crazy thinking the sport was going to die and was it going to be Grant Hill? But then Grant Hill got so hurt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're a little bit with that now. We have what the next generation after the Currys and LeBron is, right? We have that already. That's Luka. That's Jokic. That's Giannis. But because it is a group of players that sort of came in and played in the shadow of probably one of the greatest generations in all of basketball, those guys have never sort of, as popular as they are and as crazy accomplished as they are, they haven't captured people in the same way that LeBron and Steph did. In fact, you have to go a little bit younger for that. And that's where you get the John Morant. That's where you get Donovan Mitchell. That's where you get some of these guys who really are just sort of popping off of your screen. And the fact that John Morant in particular isn't here right now because of his injury and earlier because of his suspension, I think that has delayed a little bit some of that actual transferring, and also that middle group as well sort of makes it a little bit awkward. So it's just sort of a different time where some of the absolute best players in the world have not become beloved in the same way some of their elders have been. But I do think that we have so much exciting basketball that people get into it once the playoffs are there, and that meritocracy matters. And that's what some of the backlash you saw over the weekend was to me.
I'm really loving this couch situation you got going on here. Where did you get it?
Thank you.
By
the way, I want to compliment myself because for the last 2 weeks, thank you. For the last 2 weeks, I have managed to wear shirts that are the exact color of this couch. So I've been sort of a floating head style. And today I managed to dress myself properly.
It's very cool, though. The couch, your studio setting looks velvety.
It is. It's velvet to the touch, Dan. So, you know, you can come down here and do your show anytime.
I'm upset, though, because this show, more so than any other show, deserves the floating head. I mean, I want the floating head. We're not getting a floating head.
I mean, you know, maybe have me back in a couple weeks. We'll see. But I got myself dressed this morning, and I really think I deserve many pats on the head for that. It's much earlier here than it is out there.
Rachel, do you know about color specialists? Because I was learning about this in the break. It turns out that you have experts you can go to that can give you the colors that work best for you.
I want to know, Billy, what color you think you are, what season you are. Is that how they say it? Like, are you in autumn or something? And also, where would you go for this color analysis?
Yeah.
Well, so Jess and Lucy were catching me up on this, and we're kind of workshopping the idea of having a color specialist come in, and maybe we can do a whole segment or episode around it. You're welcome to join us if you would like, but I didn't even know this was a thing.
I would like to be part of that.
Okay, perfect.
Please.
Dan, you can't come with, but Rachel, I think you would be a perfect like green emerald. Yeah. Also, Dan, you're paying for this.
Yeah.
That please was a confirmation.
We're in business with Rachel now. If Rachel wants to do things, we need to be doing them with her. So if colorist special content is what you guys want to make, I'm all for it. Let's do it. What are we waiting for?
Dan, I feel you're a deep winter.
I want a set like yours. I'm jealous that our stuff doesn't look like that. Our stuff, like, look at where.
Just turn off the lights.
It's just, no, but look, it's so much mood she's giving off. There is so much attitude behind her. And all of it is, it's welcoming, it's inviting, it's warm, it's charming, it's stylish. It's none of the things we are. Anyway, as I was saying,
what were you saying?
I was complimenting. I was complimenting the warmth of her set, and I was telling the audience that because Amin is also a frequent guest, I was told he was trying to break into what it is that we were doing there. That he was causing.
I see.
We're trying to locate Amin, so he'll be on one of the shows. You've promised to answer the questions if we can't get to them. You've promised that Bully Ball will get to the bottom of whatever Amin was trying to achieve at that game.
Yes, Bully Ball is on the case. We have a full investigation going. I have questions for Stu Gatz, though, by the way.
Okay,
you're going to quiz him on the weekend?
Well, I heard him chat earlier that he was traveling, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we got to dig into that a little deeper. What, it was too hot to play golf at home or what?
No, I was traveling to see my daughter's lacrosse team play. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair. So I want to know how much you paid attention to sports over the weekend, as you are one of the premier co-hosts in America of one of the top sports shows that over the last decade.
I'd
like to hear a little bit about what you do.
I'm not going to take a quiz.
I'm not going to take it.
He's going to take
you?
It.
You're too
no, go
good?
Ahead. Fire away. Fire away. Away. This is
how
fair.
Many
fire
questions
away,
yeah. do you have here? How? What is the nature of the questions?
All right. So I have 5 questions.
Wow.
I feel that someone of Stu Gatz's level maybe can answer them. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay. So basically, but just to be clear on what we're trying to do here, Rachel is an accomplished journalist, Stu Gatz, that you share this space with. She has worked all of her life and is meticulously prepared and thorough when she's being asked questions. Mm-hmm. You are now going to ask him 5 basic sports questions for the weekend
to see
if our Monday morning host, Stu Gatz, after 30 years of doing this, tried at all this weekend to inform himself?
Yes.
The antelope.
Yes.
All right. Number 5.
Yes. I want to know which one of the following coaches was recently fired, Stu Gatz, despite a winning percentage of more than 55%. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Coach at Stanford, Gerard Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Coach at Long Beach State, Dan Munson.
Mm-hmm.
Coach at Michigan, of course, Juwan Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Coach at Vanderbilt, Mr. Jerry Stackhouse. Which one was recently fired despite having a more than 55% winning percentage?
Long Beach State.
Really? Really? 2-time Miami Heat champion, Juwan Howard, for you?
He didn't even notice Juwan Howard got fired. What happened?
I mean,
you just had one story from the weekend, not the other?
Long Beach State. Yeah,
he lost 26 games, Juwan Howard. He was as bad as Patrick Ewing. It fell apart very quickly. Number 4, Rachel.
Great.
Well, that's sad, but number 2, I want to know, Stu Gatz, a fake Woj bomb tricked the broadcasters of a particular NBA team over the weekend. They started talking about how Woj tweeted that a legend of that franchise had retired, and unfortunately found out later it was all just fake interneting. So will you tell me which broadcast it was? The Warriors broadcast? Was it the Wizards broadcast? The Knicks broadcast? Or the Bulls broadcast? Give it to me.
I'm going to say the Bulls broadcast.
Ding, 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 ding.
Congratulations
Thank
to God.
You. Thank you.
Is this because you were in Chicago this weekend?
No, it was just a guess.
He was just guessing, and he guessed correctly somehow. And so this is a big one here. It's best of 3, even though he guessed to this.
Five,
and
I mean,
I've still
we only have time for 3.
We only have time for 3. What's the 3rd one, Rachel?
Huh.
Okay. All right. I want to know which of the following parents this weekend of college tournament games, which parent went viral for their son in a conference tournament? LeBron James, Eddie House, Dennis Rodman, or Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Oh, wow. Not LeBron. Oh, man.
That keen insight into the sport, Dan.
Can I hear
he
my...
He was able to just knock that one out.
You don't know.
Like, I want to hear the choices
no, you
again.
You either know or you don't know. You either know what the story is.
I want to hear the choices again.
Are you guessing or do you know?
Perhaps. I just want to hear him again. What are the choices?
Okay. LeBron James.
Yeah.
Eddie House.
Right.
Dennis Rodman
uh-huh.
or Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Wow. So I have to eliminate. This is what I learned when I took tests growing up. You eliminate two, so but, I have.
So you don't know. So you don't
Eddie
know.
House.
No, but you don't know.
Eddie House. Oh, I do know. Oh, I do know. Oh, I do know, Dan Lebedard.
The game doesn't f***ing work when you're right, Stugatz.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.